is Dr. Faye Maureen Butler, and welcome to Holbrook Health Ministries monthly online Bible school instruction, lesson 4, October 19. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and we thank you. Lord, let this lesson bless your people. Give me precision of speech and clarity of thought. Keep me from presumptuous teaching. Have your way. Let this be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. With session 2, we're going to deal with general Bible topics. This lesson will synthesize topics taught in the course, General Bible 1. I will review the first 5 lessons of the General Bible 1 course, and on next month continue with the review of topics from General Bible. This lesson is intended for everyone, but can be used for new members and new converts, pastors, ministers, and teachers. Useful lessons for future reference. The lesson is adapted from the curriculum of the O.M. Kelly Religious Training Institute of the Church of God in Christ in Easton, New York. If you are in the greater New York area, may I recommend that you enroll in one of the O.M. Kelly Religious Training Institutes to take advantage of the entire curriculum offering. So let's begin. This is a general Bible synthesis. It's going to look at a few things. The word Bible comes from the Greek word biblios, which means in the English language, the book. Now, we study the Bible because it is the source of light, strength, cleansing, wisdom, victory, and faith. Some scripture references for you to look up, 1 Peter 1 and 23, 1 John 2 and 12, Ephesians 5, 26, and Psalms 119 and 11. So how can we study the Bible? You can look at the Bible historically, like actual events and locations, or you can look at it continuously. And I should add this, you should read the Bible every day to become familiar with it. Or you could study the Bible from a biographical viewpoint, maybe looking at some of the main characters, Noah, David, and Paul. You can look at, you can study the Bible topically. Find out what the Bible says about God, heaven. You know, ask questions as to when, where, and why. So there are a number of ways you can study the Bible. Now let's get to some more concrete thoughts about just the Bible synthesis. And this is like the orienting lesson for General Bible 1. And this is the lesson, this summary I'm doing right now is a lesson that I basically used and I taught in Bible school a few years ago. So there are 2 major divisions of the Bible in the New Testament. The Old Testament has 39 books and was written before the birth of Christ, B.C. The New Testament has 27 books and was written after the birth of Christ. The Bible was written by at least 40 authors from every walk of life. The fivefold division of the Old Testament is as follows. Genesis to Deuteronomy, 5 books, also called the Pentateuch, or the books of law. Joshua to Esther is 12 books, also called the historical books. Job to Song of Solomon is 5 books, also called the poetical or wisdom books. And Isaiah to Daniel, 5 books, known as the major prophets. And Hosea to Malachi, 12 books, known as the minor prophets. So that's the fivefold division of the Old Testament. The fivefold division of the New Testament is as follows. Matthew to John is 4 books, is 1 book, and that is a historical book, also known as the Acts of the Apostles. Romans to Philemon is 13 books. If you include Hebrews in that, it'd be known as the Pauline Epistle, or the letters addressed to specific church or individual written by the Apostle Paul. Then James to Jude is 7 books, also known as the General Epistles or the General Letters. And then Revelation is 1 book, and that's prophetical, written by the Apostle John. So one thing I would always tell my students is that Genesis must be read to understand the rest of the Bible. So basically what I just did in the past few minutes was a really quick synthesis, and I would always use this lesson to introduce the rest of the general Bible course, just going through the Bible, why we need to study the Bible, and understanding how the Old and New Testament is split up. So that was just a basic synthesis. So I'm getting a little bit more specific. Let's look at the leading books of the Old Testament. So what we consider to be the leading books of the Old Testament. And we would say there would be Genesis, which represents the law, Psalms, which represents the writings, and then Isaiah, the prophetical book. So why would we choose these 3 books, Genesis, Psalms, and Isaiah? Genesis is not merely an important book. It is the most important in the entire Bible. Without it, nothing in the others can be understood. One of my Bible school teachers always said to me, you must understand Genesis to understand the rest of the Bible. And then the Psalms, unquestionably the greatest among the writings because of its messianic element. In these are recorded the birth, life, resurrection, ascension, and exaltation of Christ. And then Isaiah, because the book is so highly evangelical, he is sometimes called the fifth gospel. If you look at, for your own scripture reading, Isaiah 53, 1 through 12. So let's deal with, in this segment, we're going to deal with Genesis, Psalms, and Isaiah. And that's what I'm going to cover for the rest of this, what we would call lesson two. So now let's look at Genesis. And if you want a scripture reference for a general scripture reference, you can look at Genesis. Facts one should know about Genesis. So facts one should know about Genesis. Genesis is the first book of the law. Moses is the author of Genesis. Genesis is the book of beginning, of all human relationships and of life and ruin through sin. Genesis proves that it is possible for man to walk with God. Then Genesis begins the self-revelation of God, which culminates in Christ. Two, Genesis is divided into five main parts, the creation, number one, number two, the fall and redemption, number three, history of Cain and Abel to the flood, number four, the flood to the Tower of Babel, number five, and the death of Joseph. So if you look at these five sections, the creation, Genesis 1, 1 through 31, three creative acts, just the heavens and the earth, animal life, and then human life. I mean, if you really ponder God, magnificent, he just said let, and the earth was created. And then number two, the fall, four steps leading to the fall of man, the implied doubt of God's goodness, adding to the word of God in Genesis 3, 2 through 3, the first lie, Genesis 3 and 4, then appeal to pride, Genesis 3 and 5. Then let's look at the redemption. There were two steps, the promise, Genesis 3 and 15, and then the covering, Genesis 3 and 21. Our next step, history of Cain and Abel to the flood. There are 4 points, declaration, the extreme corruption, the building of the ark, and the drowning of the world. Again, I repeat, at the evidence of declension, which is Genesis 4, 1 through 8, the extreme corruption, Genesis 6, 1 through 7, building of the ark, Genesis 6, 14 through 22, and the drowning of the world, Genesis 7, 10 through 24. Now, I'm purposely not reading these scriptures because, as I said, these lessons are just designed to synthesize what you would normally get in the actual classroom setting in General Bible 1, but I'm giving you the scripture references so you can look up the scriptures below and the points that I'm making when you have free time. The next subdivision of Genesis. Number four, remember, it's divided into five parts. We started with the creation, the fall. Read with the history of the Cain and Abel. Now we're at four, the flood to the Tower of Babel. Get 3 points under this heading. God remembering Noah. Genesis 8 and 1, without looking at this, I know it says it was God remembered Noah. Then the tower. Genesis 11, 1 through 4, and then a confusion of the tongue. Then the fifth subdivision under Genesis is from Abraham to the death of Joseph. Abraham, faith, obedience, and separation, Genesis 12, 1 through 4, then 22 and 16. And then Jacob, a love for spiritual things, endurance under strain. Some scripture references, Genesis 25 and 27, and verse 34, and then Genesis 32 and 9, and then Genesis 45, 4 through 5. So what we just did is quickly go through the Bible synthesis, the book of Genesis. And some of the facts we should know, that's the first book, it's written by Moses, it's the book of the beginning, and it proves that it's possible for man to walk with God. Creation, number one, number two, the fall and redemption, number three, history of Cain and Abel to the flood, number four, the flood and the Tower of Babel, and then number five, the death of Joseph. So that was just a basic review of Genesis. Now, let's go through what we call human experiences in the Psalms, part one. And you can look at Psalms 32, 1 through 2. But in part one, there are four areas that I'm going to cover. They are, number one, facts one should know about the Psalms. Number two, finding God's favor. Number three, delight in God's word. Number four, uprightness of walk and devotion. Let's go back to number one. Facts one should know about the Psalms. And again, this is human experiences in the Psalms, part one. So facts one should know about the Psalms. Let me just go through these. There's six facts I'm going to read. Number one, at least four authors contribute to the Psalms, David, Solomon, Moses, and Asaph. Number two, there are five divisions. Each ends with a doxology. Number three, they reveal truth in terms of human experience. Number four, they give the reaction of the soul to God under life experience, Psalms 40 and 13. Number five, they disclose the mind of God and the exercise of his heart. Those who are perplexed are quickly cast down. You can look at Psalms 46, 1 and 11. So again, under facts one should know about the Psalms, there were five things I mentioned, and forgive me if I said I was going to mention six, I meant to say five. So there were five things that I mentioned. And let's go to point number two, finding God's favor. There are three things I want to mention under this title, finding God's favor. The first need of man, number one, the first need of man is to come into God's favor. Go back to Genesis 3, 8, and 9, and verse 21. And the second point under this title, finding God's favor, is this. And this is realized as an experience of good rest and satisfaction that has crystallized in the word blessed, like blessed are you. But look at Psalms again, 32, 1 through 2. And then when we find God's favor, the third point underneath this heading is your sins being removed from you, Psalms 103 and 12. These are scriptures as far as the east is from the west. So in terms of God's favor, again, the three points. The first need of man is to come into God's favor. The second thing I read is that when you realize this, you kind of experience just the satisfaction then of knowing that you're blessed. And then the third thing is your sins are removed from you. God forgets your sins once you repent of your sins. So that was number two under human expert one. We've covered facts one should know about Psalms and the sign of God's favor. So the third heading is the light in God's word. Look at Psalm 19 and Psalms 119. And under this heading, there's three things I'm going to mention. Number one, the Psalms exalt the word with particular fullness. Look at Psalms 19, 7 to 11. Then Psalms 119 is a longer psalm. It contains 22 sections, 8 verses to each section, 176 verses with 8 words in each section. So it has a lot to it. It's really a book within itself. And then the delighting in God's word is that you can even look at Psalms 119 and take it apart and look at the different sections. The third point under delighting in God's word is just the whole idea that we're sanctified by the word, the power of the word of sanctification. So delight in God's word. And part of that even comes from when you look at either Psalms 19 or 119, you could look at just some of these things that really feed the soul. So those were the three things under the heading, delight in God's word. Then the fourth heading under human experiences in the psalm is uprightness of walk and devotion. You can look at on your own Psalms 1, Psalms 15, Psalms 42, and Psalms 23. Under this heading, there are four things I'm going to mention. Number one, in life and experience, the saint should show balance. Number two, he or she should be devoted. That's Psalms 1, yes. Psalms 1 through 3, and Psalms 43 and 15. Again, I said Psalms 1 through 3, but Psalms 1, 2, and 3. The third point is he should be upright. Again, look at Psalms 1. And then the fourth point under uprightness of walk and devotion is persons may be upright and not devoted. Just you could be upright and be sincere, but there's something about being devoted to the word and things of God. So again, this was human experiences in the Psalms. So the psalm looking at what we go started out, and there are four headings under this human experiences in the Psalms. And we started out with Number one, fasting should know about the psalm. Number two, finding God's favor. Number three, delight in God's word. Number four, uprightness of walk and devotion. So those were the headings under human experiences in the psalm, part one. Let's go to human experiences in the psalm, part two. Now, there are four headings under human experiences in the psalm, part two. Care and help, trusting in tribulation, and thankfulness and praise. So let's go through human experiences in the psalm, part two. First, the first heading, daily sense of God's presence. Read Psalm 3, Psalms 4, and Psalms 121. So the daily sense of God's presence. Every morning, Psalm 3. We often quote the scripture, Great is thy faithfulness, or we may even sing the song, Great is thy faithfulness, but just sensing his presence every morning, when he wakes us up, we should always have a praise and thanks on our lips when God wakes us up every morning. Psalms 4 speaks to this, but just think of how God is with us. He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. He is always with us. And the whole idea that you can lie down and go to sleep and have sweet sleep and wake up and you'll feel refreshed and blessed. In fact, the scripture reference for the statement I just made, his sleep shall be sweet, is Proverbs 3, 24 to 25. And then, daily sense of God's presence, we'll have an assurance of a day well lived. I mean, when you love God, you just love to dwell with him and let the word get in you. You just kind of, even if the storms of life come against you during a particular day, you have a difficult day, but his presence in you, I love God and you're living for him and you confess him as your Lord and Savior, his presence dwells within you and you have a daily sense of God's presence. But what the human experiences to you is scripture reference, so you can sense and feel what the psalmist even as he wrote about at the time, but it's applicable for us today. One more point to make of God's sense, of God's presence aboard. No matter where we go, God is there. He's omnipresent. God is everywhere. And no matter where we go, he's there. And you can look at Psalms 1 and 21. That's just the daily sense of God's presence, looking at human experiences in the psalms. Then the next point, God's care and his help. You can look at Psalm 23 and Psalm 37. Many of us know Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But looking at this whole idea of resting in the arms of the shepherd, Psalm 23, to meditate on that and to dwell on Psalm 23, the whole idea of we're resting in his arms. And we don't have to be careful about anything. Scripture references Matthew 6, 25 to 34. We're assured of eternal restoration. We have assurance of comfort, the blessing of an everlasting life. We're living to live again. And then, even in terms of his care and help, we're undisturbed in the face of injustice. Look at Psalm 37. Verse 2 says in Psalm 37, and the ungodly will abide for a time, but God will vindicate the righteous. And the righteous man's steps, our steps, are ordered if you allow him to order your steps. But he wants to order our steps. That's why this lesson, the beginning lesson in this general Bible course, Genesis and human experiences in the Psalms, is so important because it just gives us back those scriptures and it restores our faith. But look at this scripture, the righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord. So even if there are some things that are not going according to what you think of your plans, let God order your steps. Let him direct you where he wants you to go. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Another psalm that comes to me, Psalms 139, that says, Lord, search us, O God, and know us, and try us. We want to be led in the way everlasting, and believe me, God can order our steps and lead us in a way everlasting. It's so important for us to seek God's help and seek his guidance. Remember, this heading was God's care and his help. The third heading under is trusting and tribulation. The psalm references to read are Psalm 71, Psalm 91, Psalm 73, in Psalms 143. Now, it's 2 points under this heading of trust and tribulation. Confidence, hope, or self. If you look at the whole thing of confidence, you have confidence. You just know within. You have that assurance that, yes, something's going to happen. And the whole idea of hope, hope is like expectation that God will answer. He will come through. And it says Abraham, who was the father of faith, had hope against hope. Many times I pray, and we pray with authority, and when we bind hopelessness, I even say I lose this from the eternal hope or the blessed hope that we talk about, but the hope, that constant expectation, even when things seem very difficult, that it's not going to work out, you hope against hope. So confident hope of self. And again, Psalm 71 and Psalm 91. Then assurance of deliverance, Psalm 73 and Psalm 143. When you read Psalm 73, look specifically at verses 25 to 28, and then Psalm 143, verses 1 through 5. But rest assured, he will deliver. There are so many examples for us to read in the Old Testament. And no matter what level you are, when you listen to this, whether you're one of the teachers or students, you can always kind of compare and contrast. And what I encourage people to do, we're going through the human experiences in the Psalms in this short segment. Then I'm going to cover something in Isaiah before I end this lesson. But you can always get other scripture references to look at, okay, what does the teacher mean about assurance of deliverance? There are scriptures that you can look up, looking at when God delivered his people. God delivered the children of Israel numerous times. There were instances of deliverance, even in the New Testament, particularly in the Acts of the Apostles, how God will deliver. So you have to be confident in tribulation. You have to trust God. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust God. Then the fourth point under human experiences in the Psalms is thankfulness and praise. The scripture references Psalm 34, Psalms 107, Psalm 67, Psalms 100, Psalms 148, and Psalms 150. Joyous Psalm and Psalms 107. You can look at verse 13, 21, and 31 of 107. And then what we would say stately Psalm, Psalm 67 and Psalms 100. You can just praise ye the Lord. And we're going to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye man. And then the glorious choruses, Psalms 148, verses 1 through 13, and then Psalms 150, verses 1 through 6. So what we've done is we've covered just a little bit of, I would call my pre-oriented lesson on synthesis of, you know, leading up to General Bible 1, kind of just synthesizing what the Bible is about, the divisions in the Bible, why we study the Bible, why we selected Genesis, Psalms and Isaiah to look at specifically in the beginning of the General Bible course. We hit a few headings under Genesis of why it's important to understand Genesis, and then there are five divisions that Genesis was divided to, how you could study the book of Genesis, and we gave you those earlier. And we just went through the human experience in the Psalms, just looking at some particular titles. We covered facts one should know about the Psalms, finding God's favor, delighting in God's word, and uprightness and walk of devotion. And again, you can look at these subtitles and perhaps even get some other psalms to place under these subtitles. And also, human experiences in the Psalm Part 2, the headings under that, that's the one, daily sense of God's presence, care and help, trusting in tribulation, and then faithfulness and praise. So we're about halfway through, or more than halfway through, this second online teaching instruction. We're going to take a short break. We're going to listen to a song called I Will Follow by Chris Tomlin, and then I'll come back and talk about Isaiah.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. All your ways are good, all your ways are sure.
and that was Chris Tomlin singing I Will Follow. The lesson continues. So now I'm just going to cover the rest of the lesson. It's just going to be, again, we're in General Bible, just selecting some topics. This is the beginning of the General Bible course, and we're now at the book of Isaiah, and we've chosen to look at Genesis, Psalms, and Isaiah. So now I'm at Isaiah, part one. And scripture reference Isaiah 40, 1 to 2. So there are six headings under the book of Isaiah, part one. So number one, looking towards captivity. Some of the things you might want to jot down under this, looking towards captivity, is Jehovah's vineyard, Isaiah 5, 1 to 7. Isaiah, the prophet's transforming vision, that chapter we're so familiar with in Isaiah 6, 1 to 8. The sun, Emmanuel given. And that's Isaiah 7, 14 and 9, 1 to 7. And Sennacherib's, sorry for mispronouncing that, Sennacherib's invasion, and that's 36, 1 to 22. Again, that's Isaiah 36, 1 to 22. Hezekiah's prayer, Jehovah's answer, 7, 1 to 22. And then Hezekiah's sickness and recovery in 38. So, what I basically did was just kind of give you some bullet points under looking towards captivity. That was the heading, the first heading under the book of Isaiah. So we said Jehovah's vineyard, the prophet's transforming vision, the son Emmanuel given, Sennacherib's invasion, Hezekiah's prayer, and Hezekiah's sickness. Okay, the second heading under the book of Isaiah, part one, is Isaiah's qualities as a man. Just his prophetic vision, and then his devotion to God and his nation. And he really, really loved God, but his qualities as a man is just his the breadth of his prophetic vision and his devotion to God and to his nation. The third heading under the book of Isaiah, part one, is the principal evils or the major issues of his day were luxury among women, as Isaiah 31, 6 through 23, injustice and monopoly, Isaiah 3, 14 through 15, and 5 and 7, and then superstition and astrology, Isaiah 47, 13. So he was dealing with some specific things during his day, although his prophecy is quite, in terms of when you look at the total book, and the different sections of the book, is quite broad. But he did have some principal evils of his day. Again, they were luxury among women, injustice and monopoly, and superstition and astrology. And then the fourth heading under the book of Isaiah, part one, is God equips a man for the emergency. When you think about what God does, he always equips his servant, no matter what the circumstance is. So he had a sustaining faith and courage, and Isaiah also had a realization of the holiness of God. So no matter what your circumstance is, God will equip you. Then the fifth heading under the book of Isaiah, part one, is Emmanuel, God with us. As a son, he is given, and that scripture is Isaiah 9 and 6, and as a child, he is born. And then number six, when you look at the Assyrian invasion and God's mindfulness, the insolence of Rabshakeh, that's in Isaiah 36 through 20, testifies awful flight, Isaiah 37, Jehovah's encouraging message, again, that's still in Isaiah 37, and the mighty deliverance. So we started out with this part one, with the heading looking toward captivity, and just talked about Jehovah's vineyard, Isaiah's vision, and then it was the prophetic utterance given about the son Emmanuel giving. Then we skip ahead and talk about the invasion and Hezekiah's prayer. So then what the rest of this lesson does, it kind of just takes you through, just talks a little bit about Isaiah at the qualities of a man, and that kind of you look at what he was or how he was as a person, and then the principal evils of his day, although his prophecy, the book is very broad, there were principal evils of his day, and then no matter what was going on, he was equipped for his time, and he is equipped to declare the word. And he, and just like he is equipped, God equips us for no matter what is going on around us. He will equip you for any kind of circumstance. And then, of course, very messianic, because we know what Isaiah 9:6 says: as a son he is given, and as a child he is born. And then the whole idea of the Assyrian invasion and God's mindfulness. It just makes me think about just a little while ago we were discussing the human experiences in the Psalms and about trusting in God and God's deliverance. And when you read the stories about particularly one story we refer to here as King Hezekiah, it was one instance of trusting in God and another instance of deliverance. Certainly when Hezekiah was sick and he prayed and Prophet Isaiah came back and said, the Lord heard you. But then another instance when God did deliver him when he was facing down enemies. So just with one character, King Hezekiah alone, you can look back and say, well, you know what, look at what he experienced. He experienced a sickness where he was told, get your house in order. But he prayed and he trusted God, and God delivered him from sickness. And then you can look at when he was about to be invaded, and God's mindfulness, and God will remember you. So the one thing you can do if you're a teacher, even if you're a student, although these lessons are somewhat structured, you could just take these headings, again, take these headings and some of the points I mentioned, and you can even think of some other bullet points that you could make about mindfulness to us. So this is just something you could think of for the book of Isaiah, part one. So now let's go to part two in the book of Isaiah. So now part one, remember, was we started out by saying looking toward the captivity. Part two, with the heading, it says looking beyond the captivity. And the scripture reference for that is Isaiah 50:4. So the important elements in part two of this really general lesson, chapters 40-66. So as I said before, the book of Isaiah is very, very broad. And most people, when they look at it to study it, they do split it up between the books, the first 39 chapters, and then chapters 40-66. So let's go through them. One is God's greatness and man's weakness, Isaiah 40:6. Two, Christ, Jehovah's servant. That's another one, elements, important elements in part two. Then for scripture reference for Christ, Jehovah's servant, you can look at Isaiah 42:1-7. Number three, Jerusalem and the kingdom age. Excuse me. Look at Isaiah 52:7-12. And suffering and sacrifice of Christ. Look at Isaiah 53:1-12. And then the everlasting salvation. Look at Isaiah 55:1-3. Then it says two aspects in one view. Isaiah 61:1-11. An eternal blessedness of Israel in the kingdom. Isaiah 66:7-22. Now you might say, wow, that was a whole lot. But again, we titled this Looking Beyond the Captivity, and this book is a prophetic book, and it's very messianic. So that's why those subtitles and headings are given. Now, let me also stop and say this. The whole idea of a general Bible course is that in the very beginning, you are being very general. Certainly, there are a number of ways you can study the Bible. Like I mentioned in the very beginning of the lesson, you could do biographical, you could do topical, you could just spend really a whole semester on the book of Isaiah, some other books, very, very general, trying to hit bullet points or key points in these books in the Old Testament. You're getting a sense of the different books and the division of the Old Testament and why Genesis, remember, why Genesis and Psalms and Isaiah represent the different books. So what I just covered was some of the important elements in chapters 40-66. So let's continue on. So the second heading under Isaiah Part 2 is God's all-sufficient greatness exhibited. Now, one, his all-sufficient greatness is exhibited in nature, Isaiah 40:6-8, among the nations. Isaiah 41, 1 through 4, 44, 28, and 45, and 1. And when you look at it, God actually called Cyrus by name 150 years before he was born. You can compare Ezra 1, 1 through 4. Look at the next point under this is the restoration of Israel. Again, Isaiah 41, and then the destruction of Babylon. Isaiah 47 and 1. So with the heading that we were talking about just now, God's all-sufficient greatness exhibited through nature, among the nations, and remember he called Cyrus by name, in the restoration of Israel and in the destruction of Babylon. So thus far under Isaiah Part 2, we've covered under heading important elements in part by Jehovah the Servant, Jerusalem in the kingdom age, suffering the sacrifice of Christ, of everlasting salvation, two advents in one view, and eternal blessedness of Israel in the kingdom. Those are important elements in the second half of the book of Isaiah. Then, the next heading, God's all-sufficient greatness exhibited in nature, among the nations, in the restoration of Israel, and in the destruction of Babylon. And the reason I'm going back to stress on these points is just so that if you're taking notes or if you're thinking about bulletin some of these points, I want you to really begin to visualize in a picture the headings and these points under the headings and kind of have it all connect and begin to let it connect with the scripture references and the subheadings. Okay, so now we're at the third subheading under Isaiah Part 2, and that is the everlasting salvation. It's universal. So let's look at it. It's universal. Personal, it's for those that are conscious of need, everybody that's thirsty, and it's free, without money, without price. So I'm going to go back. Under this title, The Everlasting Salvation, it has four notes, four bullets. It's universal, Isaiah 55 and 1, John 3:16. It's personal, it's for everyone. Now look at Romans 10, 8 and 13. It is for those that are conscious of their need, anybody that thirsted. Heed that comment, thirsted. So look at again at that Isaiah 55 and 1. It is free. Salvation is free, without money, without price. Then when you look at that same scripture reference, and then Romans 6:23 is another scripture reference, and Revelation 22:17. So under the everlasting salvation, there are four things, four bullets you could deal with. It's universal. It's personal. It's for those that are conscious of their need. I mean, the person that's thirsty, hunger and thirsty at the right thing, and then it is free, without money, without price. So that was the third major heading under Isaiah Part 2. The fourth major heading under Isaiah Part 2 is the two aspects of Christ. Let's look at this. There's two bullet points there. First, he is weak, reject, offering himself to sacrifice. Isaiah 50, 6 through 8. And 53, 1 through 12. Second, look at this. He is a mighty conqueror, taking vengeance for the nation and restoring Israel. Isaiah 61, 1 through 2, and 63, 1 through 6. So think about that. First, one part we see him weak and rejected. He offers himself in sacrifice. But then the other side, we see the other aspect of our Lord, you see, he is a mighty conqueror, taking vengeance on the nation. So that was number four, looking beyond the captivity. And then number five, kingdom blessing picture. They are inconceivable. Israel shall serve the Lord their God, number two. Number three, the Lord of hosts shall reign. And then Israel's peace shall be like a river. So those were four things mentioned under kingdom blessing picture. One, they are inconceivable, Isaiah 64 and 4. And then compare Hosea 3 and 5. Israel shall serve the Lord their God. Look at Jeremiah 30 and 9. The Lord of hosts shall reign. Look at Isaiah 24 and 23. Peace shall be like a river, Isaiah 66 and 12. So what we have covered in this segment, in this session, we've covered just the beginning of what we call General Bible 1. And I just want to take you back to the top so that if If you're doing a little review, you can say, okay, what is it we covered? So we covered, remember, just the general synthesis of the Bible, of why we study the Bible, how we can study the Bible, and how the Old and New Testament is divided. And then what we went to next is dividing the Old Testament. What are the leading books of the Old Testament? We discussed that it was Genesis, Psalms, and Isaiah. So in this lesson, we just looked at the main points in Genesis. And Genesis was subdivided in five ways that we explained to you. Five subdivisions in Genesis. But you must understand Genesis if you're going to understand the rest of the Bible. We then looked at two lessons in the human experiences in the Psalms. And the subdivisions and headings under the human experiences in the Psalms. We then just went through Isaiah Part 1 and Part 2, and Isaiah Part 1 talked about looking toward the captivity, and there were, six headings under Isaiah Part 1. Now, with looking toward the captivity, Isaiah's qualities as a man, the man for the emergency, Emmanuel, God with us, and the Assyrian invasion, and God's mindfulness. So that was the book of Isaiah Part 1. Then, the book of Isaiah Part 2, looking beyond the captivity, we looked at these headings, important elements in Part 2 of Isaiah, which is considered to be chapters 40 through 66. We looked at God's all-sufficient greatness exhibited, the everlasting salvation, the two aspects of Christ, the kingdom blessings picture. So, remember, an important element, there were some things we mentioned, God's greatness, Christ Jehovah's servant, the Jerusalem in the kingdom age, suffering and sacrifice of Christ, everlasting salvation, blessedness of Israel. So, what happened was that those bullet points, the rest of the heading really supported those bullet points. God's all-sufficient greatness exhibited in nature, among the nations, restoration of Israel, and the destruction of Babylon. Then the everlasting salvation supported some of the earlier bullet points. The everlasting salvation is universal, personal, it's for those who are conscious of their need, and it is free. Then the two aspects of Christ support the earlier bullet points you add into one's view. First, Christ is weak, rejected, offered himself in sacrifice, and then second, he's mighty, and a constant taking vengeance for the nation. And then the kingdom, fifth heading rather, kingdom blessings pictured support bullet point of eternal blessedness of Israel. So the way these lessons are structured, and I hope I made them somewhat clear to you, is with the headings, really one major heading, and then the other headings really support the major headings. So I hope with the repetition and given the bullet points that became somewhat evident. So that really concludes lesson two for the Hope of South Ministry online Bible instruction. And this is just a service we want to offer, and then we'll be back next month and we'll continue on with some general topics in the Bible. So for the monthly online instruction, next month we will continue with the given topic from the General Bible Course. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this lesson. Help us to continue to study the Word of God to show ourselves the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And as we end, enjoy this election. For bless the Lord with me. And we will see you again next month. This is by Pastor Norman Hutchins.
Hallelujah! Come on, give God some praise in this place tonight!
I meant to say the artist was a Azusa Praise. Come on and bless the Lord with me. We will see you next month.